John chapter 19, verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Well, of course, we know that he did not make himself the Son of God. That's who he was from all eternity. Folks, I would like us this morning to think about a hymn, and we're going to sing it at the end. It was a hymn that was written by Count Zinzendorf. He was a German count, a German nobleman. But I suppose one of the reasons why it's important to us as Methodists is because it was translated by John Wesley. John Wesley translated it from German into English. And the hymn I refer to is number 107 in our hymn book. And as I've said, we will sing it at the end. "Jesus, Thy Blood and Righteousness." And what a tremendous hymn it is. It's good from time to time, every now and then, for us as a congregation to think about the hymns that we sing. It's good for us to learn about the background to the great hymns that God has blessed us with. It's good for us to know about the hymn writers and to know about the stories behind these great hymns. It helps us to appreciate the hymns. Because, you know, folks, more and more in churches today, these great old hymns are being squeezed out. And more modern songs, modern contemporary worship songs are flooding into the church. And certain churches you would go to today, and I use that word churches kind of lightly. Some churches, in inverted commas, that you go to today, and you'll be hard-pressed to find any of the old hymns sung. It's all modern hymns. Well, there are some good modern songs. We have them in our hymn book. But there's a lot of them, and they're just repetitive nonsense. And no basis in Scripture. But we ought really to appreciate the hymns that we have, that we sing in the church, and we take the time each Sunday morning and evening to sing four hymns. And that's not just sort of ritual and routine. It's not just the kind of thing that we do because we have always done it. No, it's because we realize the importance of hymns and hymn singing. Of course, hymn singing came from the Reformation. That was unearthed and rediscovered at the time of the Reformation, and thank God that it has been sung in the Church of Christ ever since. But back to this hymn that we're going to sing at the end of our service. "Jesus, Thy Blood and Righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head." As I've already said, the man who wrote this was a man by the name of Count Zinzendorf. If you want the full title, a bit of a mouthful on a Sunday morning, Nicholas von Zinzendorf. But we just call him Count. We chicken out and take the shortcut and call him Count Zinzendorf. But he wrote this hymn. He has a very interesting testimony. Do you know where he was saved? In an art gallery. Now that's very interesting, isn't it? Saved in an art gallery. I haven't been in too many art galleries in my life. I wonder, have you been? Now there's some art that's very good, but there's other art that's just pure rubbish, and somebody in P1 could have painted it. But there is good art. And Count Zinzendorf, he was in the Dusseldorf Gallery in Germany one day, and he came across a painting of the Lord Jesus Christ based on John chapter 19, and it was entitled Ecce Homo. Ecce Homo. And that's just a Latin phrase meaning behold the man. Behold the man. Oh, where did we read that phrase? About 5 minutes ago in the Word of God. John 19 verse 5, notice it. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Ecce Homo. Now I know it doesn't say that in the King James Bible, but that's the Latin. Ecce Homo, what does the scripture say? Behold the man. Behold the man. Pilate, you know, he was a good preacher because he was a good signpost to the man, the greatest man who ever lived, the greatest Jew who ever lived, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was a fine preacher. I know Pilate has his critics, but I tell you, he knew what preaching was all about, being a signpost to Christ. Behold the man. That's what any preacher worth his salt will do. He'll point men and women to Christ. The problem is, a lot of preachers get bogged down in, you know, just sort of wee pep talks today. We'll give a wee talk every Sunday, a few thoughts that make people feel good and, you know, pump them up with pride and, you know, for the week ahead. You know, preachers must point to Christ. That's the duty, the vital duty of every preacher, to say, like Pilate, Ecce Homo, the Latin, or, of course, in English, behold the man, behold the man. And there in the art gallery, the Count was converted, saved by God's grace as he looked at that picture of the Lord Jesus on Calvary's cross with the crown of thorns upon his head. Now, personally speaking, I'm not a great one for pictures of the Savior. And one of the reasons for that is that nearly every picture you see or painting you see of the Savior, he's got long hair. And that's one of my bugbears and hobby horse. And sometime we'll have to preach on it, why Jesus didn't have long hair. But suffice nonetheless, God is sovereign. And God can save people in his own sovereign way. Who am I to tell the Almighty how to save sinners and the methods that he uses? Who am I to tell the Holy Spirit how to work? No, he is sovereign. He's a sovereign spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. It's this Holy Spirit. He's like the wind, and he moves in his own sovereign way and saves people in his own sovereign way. And who are we to tell him how to do it? And the Holy Spirit, the blessed, the wind of heaven, blew into that art gallery that day and brought the Count to Christ and saved him by his amazing grace. Of course, now that he was saved, he didn't just find himself an armchair somewhere and lie back and say, well, I'm ready for heaven, just take it easy until I get there. No, he started to serve the Lord. And he established a kind of what you call a refugee center in a place called Herrnhut, Which literally means, by the way, if you want the definition, the Lord's shelter. The Lord's shelter. Wonder, are you sheltering in the Lord today? Are you in the Lord's shelter? The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide a shelter in the time of storm. Are you in Christ today? Well, if you're not, come and shelter in the Savior. If you are, rejoice and serve the Lord. But this refugee center was specifically for Christian refugees. Persecuted Christians came to this refugee center established by the Count. And it ended up that there were 300 before long had come to live in the refugee center. And from this center, many, many Christians, Moravian Christians, went out all over the world to bring the gospel of Christ. Count Zinzendorf himself had a great missionary zeal, and he himself went to the West Indies as a missionary. And it was while he was on the mission field that he wrote this hymn that we're going to sing at the end. He was actually in a ship sailing from one part of the Caribbean to the other. And the Holy Spirit inspired him to write this great hymn, Jesus, Thy Blood and Righteousness. You see, the Count had been brought up in Pietism. You say, what's that? Well, Pietism believed, yes, that Christ died for our sins, and that you need to trust in what he did on the cross. But Pietism also taught that man had his part, and man had to repent, and man had to be very broken and be very penitential and very sorry and show great emotion in repenting, great contrition in coming to Christ. Man had his part to play. Pietism, kind of a combination of Christ and human effort. Well, Count Zinzendorf realized that that was false and that the Bible doesn't teach any such thing. And he discovered, of course, that the Bible teaches that it's in Christ and Christ alone. It's not by our repentance nor prayers, by the feelings we have when we come to Christ. Some people come to Christ and they're very emotional. Other people come to Christ and they have absolutely no emotion or very little emotion. And the Count, guided by the Holy Spirit, realized that it's nothing to do with the emotions as the person receives Christ. No, it's just simple faith in what Christ has done. And so, this was the message that he went forth with to the West Indies. And this is the message that his people from the refugee center went forth to the four corners of the earth with, this message that salvation is in Christ alone. And so there he was on the ship and he penned this great hymn. But of course it was written in German, and that was no good to English speaking people. And you see, the Lord in his sovereignty saved John Wesley in the year 1739, which incidentally was the same year that Count Zinzendorf had wrote the hymn, Jesus, Thy Blood and Righteousness. And 1 year later, in 1740, John Wesley discovered the hymn, and he translated it into English. My, he didn't hang about. I mean, just saved a year, and he's translating hymns. Wow. The Holy Spirit certainly had got a hold of Mr. Wesley. Wonder, has he got a hold of you? Or are you saved and stuck? Well, the Lord has saved us to serve. We're saved to serve. We're saved to ask the question, now, Lord, up until now, I've been in nature's night and in spiritual darkness, and I wasn't saved, and I was living for the devil. But now, Lord, you have saved me by your sovereign grace. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What work can I do, Lord, in the church? What can I do for you, Lord Jesus, you who have done so much for me? Very interesting story, isn't it? Sometimes we sing these hymns and we know very little or nothing about the history behind them, the background to them. Ah, there was the Count in the gallery. Ecce homo, behold the man. Underneath the picture were the words, all this have I done for thee, what hast thou done for me? All this have I done for thee, what hast thou done for me? What have you done for the Lord? Oh, God bless those of you who are busy for the Lord, doing what you can. But perhaps there are those today who are saved, yes, but you're asleep spiritually. You see, it's possible for a Christian to fall asleep. You know, the Pilgrim's Progress, Bunyan describes how Christian fell asleep on one occasion. He got very comfortable and he fell asleep. And it's a picture of Christians who fall asleep spiritually. Very easy to be like that. My prayer today is that if any of us have fallen asleep spiritually and the devil's rocking us to sleep, that the Lord would awake us so that we might serve him. Ephesians chapter 5, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So there's just a little of the hymn, or the history of the hymn that we're about to sing. But let me for a moment come to John chapter 19 as we finish, and this passage we have read. You see, there in the art gallery, the Count saw the picture of the Savior. He saw the words, Ecce homo, behold the man. He saw it all. But you know, hundreds of years before, there were others who had seen this man. Not just in a painting, but they had seen him in the flesh. And we read of these men in John 19. You notice verse 6. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, the chief priests and officers, these were religious people, very religious people, the most religious people in Israel. And they saw the Lord Jesus in the flesh. What a privilege they had. How honored and blessed they were to be able to actually look upon the Son of God with their own two eyes. And you would have thought they would have fallen down before him and said, Lord, you're the Messiah, the one that we have waited for, the Savior promised from the foundation of the world. And you'd have thought they would have fallen down before him and pleaded for pardon and forgiveness. But in fact, they responded in the opposite way. Pilate says, behold the man. And what do the chief priests and officers say? Well, notice verse 6. Can you believe it? Look at the words, crucify him, crucify him. Well, they made a terrible mistake that day. You know, down through history, man has had the choice. Man has been faced with the option of either saying to the Lord Jesus, crucify him or crown him. That's the choice. That was the choice for these religious leaders in John 19. That was the choice for Count Zinzendorf in the Dusseldorf gallery. Crown him or crucify him. that was the choice, as on Friday we went down to Coleraine for the outreach. And as we gave out the tracts and had the open air there in the town centre, that was the message. You can either crown him or crucify him. But there's no neutral ground, there's no in between. Which will it be? Will you crown him Lord of your life, or will you say, away with him, crucify him, I'll not have this man to rule over me? Folks, that's always been the choice. How have you responded to that choice? If you haven't responded positively to it, if up until now you've been like these religious men in John 19, clinging to the filthy rags of your righteousness, that righteousness that you have tried to establish for yourself, and by the way, you'll never do it, it's impossible, because no person can ever establish the righteousness that God accepts. But is that you today? Well, you need to come and say, I'm going to crown him. I'm going to make him my Savior and Lord. If you have already done that, well, there's work to do, isn't there? On the mission field. The mission field of new buildings. You don't have to cross the sea to get to the mission field. Just cross the street. There's a mission field in here in new buildings. A mission field where you come from, where you live today. Are you in the mission field? Are you involved in the mission field, seeking to share the gospel? You know, as one old preacher said, you're either serving in the mission field or you are a mission field. Which is it with you? Well, we better sing this great hymn as we finish. I said we would, so we will stand together and take the time to sing the verses, all of the verses. It's 107. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress, midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Let's stand as we sing.